Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and we're going to catch beer and squirrel.
Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading Headshot by Rita Bullwinkle. It is all downhill from here. Nate's starting with a beer.
All right. So I again have very limited choices for beer, so I had to pick from a Long Trail Brewing variety pack. So this is pumpkin ale, because, you know, if you get punched in the face enough times, your face might look like a jack-o'-lantern. Yep.
There you go.
That's the connection. Have the same teeth.
And it tastes like spices, ale brewed with cinnamon, nutmeg, cloves, and pumpkin.
Clothes?
Cloves.
It's like whatever Charlie Bucket's mom was doing. She was like stewing clothes. That movie. Okay, so.
Tastes like cinnamon and nutmeg, not really like pumpkin, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Headshot.
That's good, yeah.
Is, I hadn't had a Long Trail beer in a long time, actually.
Well,
for them. They hold up.
You need to come visit New England.
I used to see it all the time in the supermarkets, but they kind of stepped up their game around me lately. Now they have like the more local breweries as opposed to the regional ones they used to have. It used to be like Smutty Nose and Long Trail and Sam Adams were like the pinkies up beers. But now they'll have sections of like Founders, which is a national brand, but or Montauk. Anyway, Headshot by Rita Bullwinkle is another one of the long listed books for the Booger this year. And another one of the short ones, so we decided to get it out of the way. And it is Rita Bullwinkle's debut novel. And Jimmy is the only one of us who liked it. So Jimmy, tell us everything about the book, starting with the beginning of the book and going to the end of the book.
First, I just want to say, clearly Rita Bullwinkle doesn't play video games, because the word headshot has been completely co-opted by video games.
Yeah, it's about young girls who are boxing. It should have been called Knockouts. That would have been a fucking punnier title. Come on. But, like, they're underage. Technical knockouts.
That would probably also be considered maybe sexist.
Whatever.
Statutory knockouts.
But, yes, it is a book. In terms of plot, they're at a tournament. They're at a tournament, and then one of them wins. That's the whole plot. Yeah. But it's broken up into chapters, and each chapter is one of the bouts. It's a very small tournament.
It's the only book I've ever read that had a bracket in it.
Yeah, and also a book that if you read the table of contents, it will spoil who wins. Or at least who makes it to the final.
Oh, yeah.
Because the titles are the girls' names, and the brackets. But it's eight girls in the it's the like national youth
Daughters of America or something like that.
Daughters of America. I don't know if that's a real thing. I doubt it. But it's a youth boxing tournament for young girls or girls under 18. Some are, I think the youngest one is like 15 and some are 17 or 18. And it's in Reno, Nevada, which was the source of one of my favorite reviews on a book I've ever read, which was someone who did not like this book because she felt it portrayed Reno, Nevada negatively. The point of the book, I guess, is that each of these young women is a unique character and is in this tournament for her own reasons and has a whole life outside of this tournament. And you kind of get it through snippets as it like fades in and out between, you know, the moves of the fight, but it's mostly about like what they're thinking, how they're thinking about, you know, fighting their opponent and what their lives were up until this point. And what, you know, there's a few flash forwards to what their lives are going to be. And, you know, spoiler, none of them end up as professional boxers. Even the ones who are like, this is my life, because, you know, that's what kids sports are like, I guess. I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time in kids sports, but because that would be weird. But I guess, you know, guys know what it's like back when then, you know, there was kids who were like really into it and a lot of kids whose parents made them do this, and said, this is going to be your life forever. And then you turn 18, you never do that again.
Didn't your parents make you do a lot of, didn't you do like fencing? Like you just,
I did, but I knew I was never going to do that because I was not very good and I didn't care enough to do much of it. So, but these girls are at a national championship for punching each other in the face.
Or in the ribs.
Yeah, also ribs. Not below the belt, even though I guess it wouldn't matter as much for them. So the first bracket is between Artemis Victor, excellent boxing name, and Andy Taylor. Andy is the poor, like, kind of like a poor girl from Florida.
She sleeps in her car. Yeah.
She sleeps in her car, and she's driven up there by herself. She, you know, saved all the money to get up there to Reno and do the entrance fee. And she's mostly thinking about the kid that died in the pool when she was lifeguarding. That's most of her thoughts. And Artemis is from youth female boxing royalty. Because her sisters are both champions, and she's the youngest one. And her only goal in life is to beat the fuck out of her oldest sister.
Well, her second, she's the third. The middle sister came in second place. So she's got, like, all right, I could beat her. But I can't beat the oldest one. There's no way to do better than gold.
No. So she has to beat her in a fight. But it's hard because she's still quite good. And she's much older. And, yeah. And it's, you know, there's no... The plot is they're fighting. And, you know, it goes a lot into everybody's, like, strategies and kind of how their personalities lead them to win or how, or lead them to lose, or like their various levels of dedication, or, you know, the things they're really into and they're just doing this. So I don't know. It's kind of hard.
Like, why does one get into such a type of, you know?
Yeah. Like, some of them get into it because, you know, like Artemis gets into this because that's what her family does. And like Andy gets into it. I forget why Andy gets into it.
Cause she's poor. It's like, this is an opportunity to do something.
And, you know, the other girls who get into it because, you know, she was built like a boxer. So she tried boxing. She said, okay. And she just does it because she thinks she's supposed to. But then she goes on to be like a fucking
wedding planner. Do you know how many children hear that kind of sentence, though? They're like, you should play this sport because you have, or you should, you know, you're tall, you're broad.
Everyone you're tall. Fast. You should play basketball.
Yeah. Every single one. Like, you've got big shoulders. You're a swimmer or a boxer. Yeah. So.
I'm sure I told you this before, but I remember in college there was this giant guy who worked at the gym, and I went to it once to see what it was about so I could hate it. And then I had to be like a tourist. Like, dude, how tall are you? And he's like, I'm 6'10", and the answer to your next question is no.
I mean, that's why they made you do shot put in high school.
Yeah, well, we went to a school of all girls and frail Asian boys, and I came in the size of a grown-up. So they're like, here's a rock. Throw it, Hodor. What's that mean?
Yeah, they didn't. Did it teach you how to throw the rock? Like, nah, just do it.
Dude, on the first day, they were like, that's the school record.
Yeah.
Literally, that's a true story.
Children's sports are a weird thing.
Yeah, but like, I think, you know, I missed it in the beginning. I thought that I swore this was like a dystopian novel for the first 20% of the book.
Nope, it's just regular Reno, Nevada.
It's the end of the world happened. Oh no, it's just Nevada.
Yeah, instead of sending kids to the Hunger Games, they make them box in Reno, Nevada for their district.
I thought it kind of was a Hunger Games book. And then you find out, no, it's not even, doesn't even have that much of a plot. And you go, oh, this is lamer than a Hunger Games ripoff.
I mean, I don't know. How do you talk about this? Like, it's each fight is different, and, you know, one wins. And
it doesn't really, it has almost
there's
no
plot.
It does technically meet the definition of having a plot, but really, it's because one thing happens, someone wins.
Yeah, and like each round is just two new characters and they're varying degrees of weird. I will say my favorite one was, I think, the girl who ends up winning.
Rachel Dorico?
The girl, Dorico, who's like wearing a coonskin cap all the time and chewing on the tail. So she'll think, because she thinks people will be freaked out by that and intimidated by her.
She does think, and this is a quote, "It is amazing the power that a strange hat will give you." Which is also from a fortune cookie.
Hats, yeah.
You know what does happen? They don't have beers, but we do. But they're constantly, you know, boxing is an incredibly physically demanding activity. You know, yeah. the cardiovascular health you need to do that is just ridiculous. And it talks about how hot and sweaty they are, and they probably have quite a warm glow.
I would say so.
So this is warm glow. A beer that I poured out of a keg just now because I have no limits to my debauchery and I'm just trying to die. And it is a double IPA from Finback. It's 9% alcohol. And my wife asked me today, like, have you been drinking? Because it's like right next to the room where I hang out and like hide from my family. She's like, have you been just like drinking out of that drink? I was like, of course not.
No.
Fucking ridiculous.
That's an emotional support keg.
I mean, I just make sure it's still working every day.
if you don't clean the pipes by pouring the beer, it gets stagnant.
It's true. The lines can clog, actually.
Got to make sure they're not clogged.
I'm saving the family money. So this is a beer. It's very good. And has just as much plot as this book. Back to you, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, Rachel Dorico.
I'm not sure if that's how you say that, by the way. I want to say Dorico because that's more fun to say, but I don't know if it is.
I would say Dorico. Yeah, why not? It's who the fuck knows? Rachel and Kate Heffer are the next fight, and they're very different people. Rachel is a weird hat girl, if that was an archetype, and Kate really likes lists and organizing and is going to end up a wedding planner. And she is unable to, Kate Heffer looked at her life and what lay before her, and she allowed time and events to circle her, things occurring for the sole purpose that she could walk through them, be a part of them, and then move on. For Kate, time was a thing that existed only to have her in it. Kate was a goal setter.
Was she the one that just,
she's a weird girl.
She just kept saying numbers.
I think she is the counter.
Yeah, yes. It was like vaguely autistic feeling because she's not even. She's just like saying, like, you know, the perfect roots.
They're digits of pi.
Yeah, digits of pi. Yeah, exactly.
She's saying them backwards and forwards.
Kate Heffer not is counting the ratio of a circle's circumference compared to its diameter. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I just say that right there instead of just saying pi, like fucking explaining what pi is and saying it? Did this book remind you of Chuck Palahniuk? A lot of the writing made me think of Survivor. Remember that book we read? Where the guy's like, I was in a doomsday cult. Did you know that lobster tails can be broken using the end of a phone book? And if you put it on, like, just like these like weird things. And you're like, what the fuck does that mean? Nothing.
Each of the girls is weird in their own way, in like that.
But there's a lot of stuff, but like, that this doesn't really mean, and this is not developing a character to tell me their idios, like, I understand that is what character development is, like telling me what makes them unique or interesting, but like just being like, and this girl really liked purple. Like, oh, okay, I really know her now. That's all right.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's simultaneously very a limited snapshot of them and little glimpses of the rest of them, because the book is only the 2 days of the tournament. And you get snippets of the rest of their life, but it's like, what are these weird girls here, each individual in their own way? Some more proficient, some less. What are people like that doing here, I guess? I don't know. It's a different thing. I mean, it's hard to develop. Character development is such a fucking, you know, who knows?
It's super subjective, sometimes, of course.
It's incredibly subjective because it could be like, I don't care about these things, or there's not enough of these things. Like, the line is impossible to walk. It's different for everybody. So, like, they're here for a day. If there wasn't that stuff about them, people would say that, who are these girls? Why are we reading this?
Well, there'd be no fucking book.
And some might still say that. I don't know. You know, it's a weird book. I liked it a lot, but I will not say that it is one of the finest books ever written. I don't think it should even really win the Booker. But I think I really liked it. I thought it was really weird. I just thought the characters were interesting and fun. And each one was like a tiny little short story that you got pieces of, and they punch each other. And I like boxing, so that helps.
I just think that they're at a national youth boxing tournament. So these are the eight probably best under 18 female boxers in the country. Their stories would actually probably be very similar in that they're like, I just eat, sleep, and train for boxing. Because It's not like you don't get to be the number four best at something and be like, I just kind of do it. Like, that's not how that works.
Well, I mean, the stuff you get from the rest of their life is the stuff that's not boxing.
You get the flash forwards like, for some of them, including one where you get like a century later.
None of them end up as boxers, but even for like, besides like Artemis, who just is like a trained, exists to do boxing, the other ones, you get their life of like what led them to do this in the first place. And it is a frequent thing in the book that the tournament is basically a joke and a grift for whoever owns the... owns the gym to steal, take a bunch of money from the association. And then they're all just trying to bribe each other to get the thing at their gym next year.
The creatively named Bob's Boxing Palace.
Yeah.
This woman teaches creative writing, by the way. Great.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying it's such a low effort championship. Like, this is not necessarily the youth championship boxing. These are not the Olympians. This is some tournament called the Daughters of America. It could become somewhat of a grift.
Then why is like the Olympic kind of family involved? Like the girl,
because they do all of them.
I don't know.
Each one is like a regional thing. They're all like the, you know, the best of this tournament in their local, not local, but like, you know, the Northeast or you know the South. East or some shit like that. So, you know, I don't know what the youth women's boxing game is like in America, but if it's like any other youth sport, there are multiple championships.
Oh yeah.
Besides,
and they have highfalutin names. They're like state champions. Like, you only played against people in Brooklyn. Like, it's like, yeah. How could you be the state champions of any? Of course. I hear you, and I understand that because youth, any activity has a lot of money in it that they can get from both families and schools, but also local governments and federal governments.
Yeah.
So they create all these things, and a lot of it is kind of bullshit. The book, if that was like the issue of the book or something we needed to know, I feel like she should have explained that better. I don't know. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, I don't think that's what the book was about.
No, I don't think it's about that.
No, but like, but then it does it. But if it mattered, like, who the fuck knows anything about teenage girl boxing? I mean, I'm sorry, it's a real thing, but I'm sure there's people who know more about fucking pickleball. There's more people who know that than they know about teenage female boxing.
Yeah, definitely. That's why there's no one at this tournament.
Right, so then like...
people don't care about it.
But like, when we're getting these passages that are like, and this is, you know... about the shade of lipstick she's wearing, and it felt very Chuck Palahniuk-ish. One of Chuck Palahniuk's things is kind of like over-explaining. Explain that. Mm. Take a page. Tell me why I should understand the relevance of this youth boxing tournament. Otherwise, I'm going to fill it in with my complete lack of knowledge of youth female boxing. And I'm going to potentially miss the point.
I mean, I think everyone can get their own point from this, since there's so not little, but there's not much in there that's like defined. Like, you can take what you want from it, or you can enjoy what you want from it, maybe not take the same things. Like, I enjoyed the weird little characters and the stories of their, you know, little glimpses of their lives, and how I kind of really liked how she explained, like, Artemis wins because she spends every day perfecting her technique by looking herself in the mirror, and she adapts between fights. Like, in the first fight, she realizes that when she gets hit, she leans left. And so by the second fight, everyone that was watching her for that, noting that flaw, she has now fixed that because she is a perfectionist. Whereas someone like Rachel, her shit's all psychological, and she just tries to be the weird one and psych him out. And there's like the Lang cousins. And like, there's the older one who's, you know, the big one, and the little one who's scrappy, but she's, you know, it's how they adapt to each other. And it's like, my personality's because of the, like, why Kate loses is because she cannot stop thinking about bullshit and stop. She gives up in the middle of the fight, and she's like, actually, I hate this, and I just want to be a wedding planner.
One of the Lang cousins does something similar. The older one is like, this isn't what I want to be.
The older one gives up also. I think maybe it's, yeah, a few of them, like, in the middle of the fight, say, like, why am I doing this? Like, I don't fucking know. The younger one wants the older one to win because she's the big cousin and she wants everything for her big cousin because she can win next year because she's only 15. But then the older cousin is like, what the fuck are you doing? But she will not stop punching the shit out of her because they've only ever fought each other because no one fights girls and there are only two girls at the gym. Like, they have the same coach. Like, every girl's supposed to have a coach come down with them for their corner, but they're sharing a coach because no one wants to have another coach for them because it costs money and the coaches all know each other. They don't give a shit. They're not even watching the fights. They're just like, go out there and punch them. So, you know, there's a lot of little things. It's basically just like here's a bunch of characters, watch them interact as they do in their little character stories. There's no plot. It's just, how would these things play out? And I kind of liked that. I thought it was simple, but enjoyable. And after the shit fest of reading all these Booker books, I was happy to actually enjoy reading one of them. That's really what it came down to. I don't think it's a magnificent work of art. I just had I had fun, which is sadly rare, especially on these pretentious fucking book lists.
So the book is written in third person. I mean, I guess on one level it kind of has to be, but I actually thought that was a little weird, or more like it made it a kind of awkward because the author had to keep repeating the character's name like in every sentence, you know, and Andy. What was Andy's name? And Andy Victor said this. And then Andy Victor said this to Andy Victor. And Andy Victor said, no, it was not Andy Victor. Artemis Victor, whatever.
Have you ever watched boxing?
It's fast.
Yeah, it's good, but they're always saying like, they always say their name like, oh, you know, Tyson does this. And then Holyfield does this. And then Tyson goes back. And so maybe it's like that. I'm rationalizing this now, but okay. You know, it could be.
Could be. I was thinking as I was reading it, I mean, not that I'm a writer, but what if it was actually each, because it goes back and forth between perspectives about like, it's tight third person for one character for one paragraph and then tight third person for the other character for the next paragraph with these little like dots in between them. I mean, it's a kind of unique way to write the book. But also, if it was first person, you get like in the heads of the different of the girls instead a little bit more. And I thought that might have been like better to read, but I also see how that would have been super confusing to switch back and forth between characters all the time, but still be in first person.
It would be hard to do that without them saying like, I am now looking at Kate, you know, when it'd be hard to tell who's who.
Yeah.
It would get pretty difficult.
It'd be a much different book that way.
Yeah. I guess it was maybe just really like you're spectating on the fight and, you know, it's limitedly about the actual fight. It's just the things.
Yeah, there
that
wasn't
happening.
Actually a lot of boxing.
Well, there is. Really just, like they didn't write about it.
It was really like the first. It was really only in the first fight or the first chapter, which is about the first fight, where it really kind of ran into the actual boxing moves. Where, you know, oh, I saw an opening, so I punched her in the ribs and got a point, and then you know and then I got hit in the head and they got a point. But it was really like the other chapters like barely had any boxing. It was kind of like, oh, yep, and then Rachel won. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to write a narrative about boxing without it being super repetitive. Like, he punched left, and then she punched right, and then she punched right again, you know, moved back. So it's like I don't know. I didn't miss that too much. I'm not a sports book fan.
But you know what does happen a lot when they get hit? Sometimes they start to have some blood come out of them.
Blood.
This is a mead called Viking blood.
Have we had that before?
Have. Nate and I had this for American Gods.
We did, yes.
So, yeah, but blood. And they're like, oh, how do I get this out of my trunk? So you just blot it. And this is a Nordic honey wine with hibiscus and hops added. That's 19% alcohol. Jesus Christ. It smells like polyurethane.
Is that same bottle?
Oh, no. I've gone through a few.
Yeah, he kept it for 7 years.
I don't know why, but when we were doing some work, I had to like clear all the shit out of our bar. I was like, I have like 7 bottles of mead. I need to start drinking these. And so now I drink out of this one here. And then I forget days at a time. It's so good. It's like a, it's like the bottle. I feel like I it's so heavy. It's like a, do you remember this? It's like the solid.
It's like ceramic.
Yeah. I feel like I need to put a map in it and throw it into the ocean and see what happens.
That's so you can use it as a weapon when you're done.
Oh yeah. To kill a, to go rape and pillage with afterwards. Cause it is like a cinder block. It's,
you can defend yourself against Grindel's mother with that bottle.
That's fucking delicious and super strong. Holy shit. Just like Viking blood. So they go, they fight a lot, and they win sometimes, or they lose the other times, and then there's a winner of the tournament.
Oh, I forgot, Rachel doesn't win. Rose Muller wins.
Oh, we didn't even talk about her.
Rose fights against Tanya Ma, and Tanya Ma is only everything about hand-clapping games.
And that fact that her fucking mother abandoned her and her sister.
Yeah. Is she the one that becomes a, an old woman actor?
Yes.
Yeah. She isn't like, she plays an old lady in a lot of TV shows. That's what it
is. She tries to be an actor for a long time. And there's a whole thing how she was in a play where she had to play a woman who left her family. And she did a shitty job because all she could think of was how her mom did that to her.
Yeah.
And these are all interesting vignettes.
Little tidbits.
I just, maybe my issue with the book is it's really hard to do stream of consciousness for eight people at the same time.
It's two people at the same time.
But then later on in the book, the other characters are still watching often. So you'll get like a little snippet of like...
Andy starts driving back immediately because she has to get back because she doesn't have any money to stay there.
Or they're watching the others fight. So
yeah,
they're still kind of around.
Yeah, it's really... The plot is not as non-existent as like... Orbital, because there are things happening.
Well, this does orbit around youth female boxing.
True. I mean, there's an end point. There's something they're all going for, as opposed to just existing and thinking about space mice. I mean, honestly, if I had read this book at any other time in my life, I would have been like, I enjoyed that and never thought about it again. But since it's been through all these, like, once again, not that interesting bookers, I was happy to like actually keep reading this one. It wasn't just like, oh, I got to finish this fucking thing. It was like, I wanted to read it, which is always nice, especially since we have to read so many things that I don't want to do.
I found it boring. I was not interested. It was like, okay, these girls are boxing and then that was it. And so I just found it kind of boring. I wasn't that interested. So I didn't really like it.
It's also unbelievable in a boxing match that they have the extra headspace to be thinking about, you know, what was the carpet like when my mom left us on that night in New Mexico? It is a frenzy of activity in the round.
I mean, some of it is their thoughts. Some of it is just narrator saying the things that happened to them. Some of it is the things they're thinking, and the ones that are thinking about other shit usually end up getting their asses beat.
You know, I didn't notice that. Maybe if that had been pointed out to me, like, notice the connection between their rate of success and what they think about.
Well, it's like you between in the fights, you see who is like between Artemis and Andy. Artemis wins because all she cares about is winning. This is her purpose for being. Andy loses because she's thinking about the dead kid.
Which was and fucking she's not great. Random. Like, it was pretty random.
Yeah, I mean, you know, every person in the world has shit happen to them, you know, so.
I just think if you get to this point, even if it's not the world championship, it's like a regional tournament, you've had to do a lot of this. You've done dozens and dozens of rounds of boxing in tournaments plus however many in training. You have to know how to focus. It's a conceit from the author. Yeah, it's a thing that wouldn't happen, you know, like very competitive people aren't thinking about other things, whatever it is, whether it's boxing or playing the cello or whatever. They're not in the middle of their solo going like, oh, did I leave the tea kettle on? Like they're,
well, I mean, half of these
in
girls
the fucking
quit
zone
by the end of this tournament.
So they're, and that's why they lost. They weren't good. I don't understand what the point is then. These girls were like, this was their peak.
I mean, none of them go on to like, I mean, Tanya goes on to be like some old lady actress, but the rest of them, like Rachel, you know, the hat lady.
She manages a supermarket.
Yeah, because she ends up with people who are not scared of weird hat energy. Who is it? Rose, I think, ends up like as a school admissions administrator. And Kate does weddings because she likes lists, you know?
I don't even know what happens to
Artemis. Something you do when you're a kid. Like, youth championships are different from, like, professional championships. Like, these, they're, you know, they're very good at boxing, but they're still 17 years old kids. Besides Artemis, who's like a bionic warrior.
But she loses a tournament. This was her last chance.
Artemis loses.
I just feel like it's the kind of book that if Rita Bullwinkle was here, we asked her my annoying questions, she'd have a very smart answer for every one of them. Well, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about her.
She's written a short story collection. She teaches creative writing classes and things like that. I was reading her website biography, and it's like she teaches a class on artificial languages and novels. I'm like, that sounds fascinating.
Like elfish and shit?
I guess. I don't even know. I mean, yeah. Sound super, I'm sure, super smart, knows every fucking book, etc. I'm sure she'd have an answer for every one of these questions. Like, well, don't you see how this person did that, and that's why? And that's it. It's like, well, how hard am I supposed to fucking work to understand this book about girls punching each other?
I don't think you have to work hard to understand it. I think you can understand it pretty easily. It is just about girls punching each other. And their lives. And, you know, they've all come together for this one thing. But aside from this one thing, they all lead completely different lives. This is the only thing that brings them together. And it's the only thing, and most of them will never do it again. Many people can get different stuff from this. Like, some people will be like, yeah, you know, you do youth sports and it seems like the be-all, end-all. And then you turn 18, you're like, actually, fuck that. And then when you're 50, you think, yeah, actually, you know, I used to box. I was in a tournament once. People were like, oh, that's cool. And then you never think about it again. But some people were like really into it. And this is all I'll ever be. Or some people will be like, this was the best I ever was. But most of these girls, you know, they don't think that. They do other shit. They move on. It's like a glimpse. I guess it is like Orbital in that way where it's like, this is one day and weird shit happens this day, but it doesn't mean that's the rest of your life. You have a vast, complex reality outside of getting punched when you're a 17-year-old girl. Is it that heady? I don't know. You can get a lot from it. I mean, everyone can do what they wish with it. I just enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. And I liked the girls' stories. Thought they were interesting. I said stories.
Nate, I feel like I'm shitting on it and being a dick. But you didn't like it either, so please help me.
I didn't like it either. It's written in very simple sentences.
Short, punchy sentences,
oh,
would you say?
Ooh.
Yeah, ooh. Good. But it didn't have the kind of writing that you normally see in a Booker book, which made me feel like Mike had said, is this a young adult novel? And I was like, you know, it does kind of feel like a young adult novel.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a dystopia, so maybe not. But
it did feel like a young adult.
I kind of would. It does not feel like a Booker book.
It kind of feels like six or eight short stories about individual women. And it's like, what if they all just came together one day for a thing?
It is an interestingly constructed book. You know, it's got these both different characters, and you change your perspective, and then like internal, external stuff. Very creative. I just didn't like it. That's all. I didn't like it.
Yeah, that's perfectly fair.
I don't think it's great. I also don't think anyone's going to be like, that was the book. That changed things. Like, you're like, that was an interesting experiment. Just like we look at New Coke. Sorry, Nate. I know I'm rambling. Get us back home.
All right. So the book sucked. Tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Nate, Jimmy, you have anything you want to say, or should we just, is that fine?
I liked it, but I don't, you know, whatever. Everyone can like things or not like things. I don't give a shit. Do your thing. Do what makes you happy. I'm not going to tell you not to.
Support the podcast at Patreon.
Yeah, and go to Goodreads and the socials. We're there. Put it into Bing and find us.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.